Jaya Radha Madhava Jai Hava Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadha, Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrindiki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Baba Gopira, Shama Kundarada Kuti, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadip Dham Ki Jai, Gang Shmada Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrindiki Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrindiki Jai, Go Premanandi, all glorious to some of the bodies, all glorious to some of the bodies, all glorious to some of the bodies, all glorious to Sri Guru Shikaranga, all glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasada Buddha Shivate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamane. Namaste, Sarasota Deve, Gauravani Prachadane, Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Pashtachade Shitarane, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 63, Verse 47. Avadyoya mamapkesha Aviro chenisito suraha Aradaya varodatto Navadyo metab anvaya. Abhija. Not to be killed.
I am he, mama,
by me,
api,
indeed,
esha,
this, Vairochani Sutta, son of Vairochani, or Bali. Asura,
demon,
Praladaya,
to
Pralada,
Vara,
benediction,
Datta,
and given,
Navadya,
not to be killed,
May,
by me,
Tava,
your,
Anvaya,
descendants.
Translation,
I will not kill this demoniac son of Vairochani, for I gave Prahlad Maharaj the benediction that I would not kill any of his descendants. It was to subdue Banasura's false pride that I severed his arms and I slew his mighty army because it had become a burden upon the earth. This demon, who still has four arms, will be immune to old age and death, and he will serve as one of your principal attendants. Thus he will have nothing to fear on any account. Thus, attaining freedom from fear, Banasura offered obeisances to Lord Krishna by touching his head to the ground. Bana then seated Aniruddha and his bride on their chariot and brought them before the Lord. At the front of the party, Lord Krishna then placed Aniruddha and his bride, both beautifully adorned with fine clothes and ornaments, and surrounded them with a full military division. Thus, Lord Krishna took his leave of Lord Shiva and departed. The Lord then entered his capital. The city was lavishly decorated with flags and victory arches, and its avenues and crossways were all sprinkled with water. As conch shells, anakas, and dundubi drums resounded, the Lord's relatives, the brahmanas, and the general populace all came forward to greet him respectfully. Whoever rises early in the morning and remembers Lord Krishna's victory in his battle with Lord Shiva will never experience defeat. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 63rd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Krishna Fights with Banasura. So here we see that Krishna fulfills the desires of Lord Shiva to be merciful to Banasura. And he also indicates a very good reason for doing so. And that is that Banasura was the son of Bali, and Bali was the son of Prahlad, and the Lord had given the benediction or blessing that Prahlad's descendants would not be killed by the Lord. So therefore, to respect that promise to Prahlad, therefore he doesn't kill him. But of course, the other reason is that the request of Shiva, his devotee, is there that he should not harm Banasura, who was Shiva's devotee. We see here that even though a person may be born in a demonic family, that does not restrict the Lord from giving mercy. So Prahlad was born in a demon family, but he got great mercy from the Lord, so much mercy that the Lord made this promise that none of your descendants will be harmed by Krishna. So in this way, the Lord does not look at the family origin or the jati of a person in order to give mercy. In the case of Prahlad, he was actually a great devotee, even though he was born in a demon family. On the one hand, the Lord does fight and suppress the demons. That is one of the Lord's purposes, to make sure that the demons do not disturb the order of the universe. So one of the subject matters of the
Bhagavatam, 10 subject matters, is uti. Right? Uti means impulse. And this describes the two tendencies within the material world of the human-like entities. That is, some are demonic and some are devotional. Some favor the Lord, some don't favor the Lord. And we see from the beginning of Brahma's creation, he creates some entities which are tamasic and demoniac, and then he creates devas, etc. So we have intrinsic to the universe varieties of living entities. Why does Brahma do this? He's simply giving bodies that suit the mentality of those individuals who in previous lifetimes expressed such mentality also. So in other words, he's not prejudiced, but rather he's continuing which went on in a previous day of Brahma, in a previous lifetime of Brahma, etc. So according to the mentality of the person at the present time, he gives some particular bodies, either demon or devotees. Huh? So this is a choice within the universe that they can follow the path of Dharma and set up by the Lord and eventually become devotees, or they can ignore all of that and they can operate on their own independently of the Lord, and whenever the Lord tries to interfere with that, then they may fight with the Lord. So these are the demons. So all throughout the day of Brahma, we'll find demons arise, and either they are suppressed by a great Manu's descendants or whatever, or the Lord himself may come and fight with them, as we see in the case of Nrsimhadev coming to kill Hiranyakasipu, or Varaha killing Hiranyaksha, or Krishna coming and killing Shishupala and Kamsa and others. So there's some intrinsic activity in the universe based upon qualities of persons. So that's called uti. So that's described in the Bhagavatam, different types of people. And then another subject of the Bhagavatam is the manvantara, that the Lord establishes, the powerful kings who will establish Dharma. And it's against these kings that the demons will fight. And when they become too strong, then the Lord comes. So another subject is Ishanupata. This is another topic of the Bhagavatam, to relate how the Lord comes as different avatars. And then he fights with the demons and he restores the order again. So these are subjects of the Bhagavatam. It is illustrated with this story here of Prahlad and Hiranyakasipu, and then the Lord coming as Nrsimhadev. And here we get again an instance of how the Lord comes and he fights against the demoniac son of Bali, Vanasura, and he conquers over him. In this case, he doesn't kill him. Of course, he also did not kill Bali, but he made him into a great devotee. And in this case, he does not kill Vanasura also, but at least he manages to control their demoniac tendency. So the purpose of the Lord is thus fulfilled. And simultaneously, he respects the devotees. He opposes the demons and he supports the devotees. So he supported Prahlad, even though he came in that demoniac family, the Daitya family, the demonic family. Still, his nature was that of a devotee, so the Lord supported him. And to such an extent that he made this promise that your descendants will be protected. They will not have to fear death. So even if they are demoniac or oppose the Lord, still the Lord doesn't interfere with them and kill them. So such is the attraction of the Lord to his devotee, Prahlad. Now, previously, Bali actually was demoniac also, because he took over the heavenly kingdom, etc., and counteracted Dharma. But he surrendered to the Lord, and he became a devotee. So that's also extraordinary, because not only get Prahlad, a devotee in the demonic family, but we get Bali, who was a demon, And then he became a devotee. Prahlad was always a devotee from his before his birth because of the mercy of Narada Muni. Bali became a devotee even though he came in that demonic family. So therefore, some sort of blessing of the Lord is there because he was in the family of Prahlad, etc. So here we get another generation with Banasura becoming demoniac and imprisoning Aniruddha, who's another form of the Lord, and then fighting with Krishna himself. And then Shiva took his side also. So again, a demonic tendency is there. So here, Banasura surrenders, and the Lord does not kill him. And he continues his service to Shiva. So again, the Lord has become very merciful. We can say partly due to the benediction given to Prahlad because he came in that family. Yeah? So, in spite of the demonic influence in that family, we see that great devotion was there because we have Prahlad and then we have Bali. And finally we get Banasura appearing and he also got the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So, in other words, the Lord, even though the family may be bad, evil, wicked, still, the Lord does not base his actions upon simply the family. He sees the quality of the person. So, therefore, he was very merciful to Prahlad, in spite of being born in the demoniac family. So sometimes Prahlad is called the best of the demons. So best in a good way, not in the bad way, not the most powerful of the demons, but best of the demons because he actually became a great devotee of the Lord. So in this way, we can't use family, birth, dynasty, etc. to determine the quality of a person. So in any case, the Lord supports Dharma and Bhakti, and the Manus who support that, and other persons as well, devotees who are preaching that. And unfortunately, it's the demons who try to eradicate that, to destroy that system and establish their independent system. So that is why the Lord has to sometimes kill the demons or restrict them in some way. So we should not take the activities of the Lord as being cruel or merciless. His whole purpose in the world is to elevate the jivas so that they can become devotees of the Lord and end their process of birth and death and go to the spiritual world. So this is part of the process of protecting that system, which will allow persons to progress very gradually to the Supreme Lord. The demons oppose this by trying to destroy the system of Dharma and making an independent system. So therefore the Lord has to sometimes interfere with that, and he may have to kill the demons. In spite of that, though Krishna kills so many demons, there's also mercy, because they get liberation. So even though liberation is the goal of gyanis and yogis and others, and only after a long time do they get that goal, the Lord is so merciful that when he kills the demon, he instantly gives them that liberation. So they very easily attain what even the yogi and gyani cannot attain except after a long period of time. So another form of mercy of the Supreme Lord. And in exceptional cases, the demons even go to the spiritual world, as in the case of Putana or Agasura or Shishupal. Krishna, of course, is exceptional in this regard, more than the other forms of the Lord. Generally, the other forms of the Lord, if they kill a demon, they do not liberate them. They do not take them to the spiritual world. They just get a good birth in the material world, and they don't go to hell. That's the mercy. But in the case of Krishna, they get liberated or they go to the spiritual world. So this is a special quality of Krishna. Of course, his very special qualities are the sweet qualities, like his sweet flute and his sweet form and his sweet pastimes. sweet devotees, particularly manifested in Vrindavan. And the quality of, you know, giving a good destination to a demon whom the Lord kills, that's a quality of Vishnu. So Krishna also does the same thing, but in a more astonishing way, because not only he kills a demon, he gets a good destination, he gets liberation, or he goes to the spiritual world. So whatever special quality Vishnu has in comparison to Shiva or Jivas, Krishna has similar quality, but even greater. So whatever quality Vishnu has, Krishna also does the same thing, but even to a greater degree. So that's when he kills the demon, they end up with liberation or spiritual world. Therefore, Krishna is put in the special category of Swayam Bhagavan. Here we find that Krishna fought with Banasura, and he fought with his soldiers and with the Shiva Jwara weapon, and with Shiva himself. Why did he fight with Shiva? Because it was he was implicated in this battle for his devotee. In spite of all of the opposition to the Lord was very easily able to defeat everyone, not only Banasura and Shiva Jwara, but Shiva himself, who is greater than any of these demons. The story shows the superior power of Krishna over Shiva and any demon. Very easily he can defeat them. It shows Krishna's superiority over any other form by his spectacular display of mercy that he shows. This story, therefore, illustrates the supremacy of Krishna over Shiva and everyone else. Though there is some confusion because Puranas speak of how Shiva defeats Vishnu and this and that, whatever, here we get a clear depiction of how the Lord defeats Shiva and his followers. So we should, the story, in other words, illustrates a certain point in terms of who is supreme by showing the supremacy of Krishna over all other forms. So to hear this story, therefore, is very auspicious because it's a glorification of Krishna and his very special position. So after the demon was defeated, Banasura was defeated, and then we see that Krishna allowed him to keep forearms, and he didn't kill him, and he became a servant of Shiva. And he rescued Aniruddha and his wife, and then they went back to Dwarka. So in this way, the pastime ends with a solution to this conflict that took place because of Aniruddha marrying the son of Banasura. Ultimately, Banasura had to agree to this marriage or whatever, and he also became, in one sense, a relative of Krishna even through this this marriage. The last verse is, anyone who remembers this pastime of the Lord never experiences defeat. So this is a material benediction, no defeat, because generally defeat is defeat in the material world where we have enemies and then we're victorious, etc. So sometimes we see that the pastimes are glorified in giving material benedictions. That, of course, is it is true that the stories can protect you from material calamities. But at the same time, we should understand that this is not the highest benefit from remembering or hearing the pastimes of the Lord. Sometimes the statements are made to attract people who are more materialistic. So this is one case that people who are anxious to be victorious, then they can read this story and get some comfort from the protection of the Supreme Lord. Though this bhakti gives all material benefits, that is not the whole purpose of hearing these or remembering these stories for devotees. The devotees don't have any material purpose at all. They don't want a material benediction from these stories. Rather, they only want spiritual benediction, that is, more attraction to the Lord, pure devotion to the Lord. So the story also bestows that, because through hearing this story, we can appreciate the position of the Lord. He's the highest person, even greater than Lord Shiva. So we can understand the Lord's position and admire Him for His qualities of prowess and bravery and wisdom, etc. And also, we can see His great mercy upon Banasura. In spite of the fact that he fought with the Lord, that he imprisoned Aniruddha, who's another form of the Lord, still, the Lord had no hatred at all. So, from the story, we can appreciate the wonderful qualities of Krishna. And this is an inspiration for our devotional service. Now, one of the stimuli for devotion are the qualities of the Lord. Another stimuli is are the pastimes of the Lord. And of course, through the pastimes, we can appreciate the qualities of the Lord. So they act as a stimulus for devotion to the Lord. How is that? Because by hearing about the pastimes and the qualities, we develop more attraction to the Lord. And more attraction means more devotion. So this functions in sadhana, where we hear and chant the name of the Lord, and through that we develop more bhakti. But those who are in the perfect stage also do not give up the process of remembering the Lord or hearing about the Lord or chanting the Lord's glories and names. They continue to do so. So the process of bhakti is a sadhana, and it is also sadhya. It is also the perfect state. Of course, in that state, the devotee is not practicing to attain a bhava or prema. He already has it. So in sadhana, we call it sadhana because we're practicing to get to bhava stage. Once we're at bhava, we're no longer practicing to get to bhava. But the activities continue. Why would they continue? Because bhakti is eternal. It is not given up. Material activities are given up. You practice jnana to get liberation. When you get liberation, you do not practice jnana. So the sadhana of jnana is temporary. The sadhana of karma is also temporary. You do your yogas, you go to Svargaloka, and then you don't do your yogas anymore. You enjoy there. Material things are given up once you attain your goal. Bhakti is a sadhana, but actually its true form is sadhya. We use it in sadhana to increase the bhakti, but actually it is in the prema itself. Hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. are intrinsic activities of prema itself. But they're also useful in sadhana to attain that level. So those who are people doing sadhana, they can hear these stories and get benefit. Those who are already in prema, they can also hear the stories. Tathagata, and they get joy from remembering and chanting the glories of Krishna. So therefore, in all cases, the pastimes of the Lord are remembered and chanted and heard by the devotees, either in sadhana or in sadhya, in prema. And it's always beneficial. In sadhana, it is beneficial because it increases our bhakti and destroys the anartas, etc. In prema, it's beneficial because it increases the joy of prema. They have nothing to attain, in one sense, but it is a service to the Lord, a glorification of the Lord, and this increases their joy. So this goes for all of the pastimes in the Bhagavatam, and particularly the pastimes of Krishna. They're beneficial on all levels, in the sadhana level, beginning level, middle level, and final level as well. And it gives the highest benediction of prema. So the material benedictions that are sometimes mentioned are also true, but not desired by the devotees. But mentioned so that people who do have material desires will get an inspiration for hearing the story. Well, that is mentioned at the beginning of the story, that this was an arrangement of the Lord. Actually, he's a great devotee. He's not even a jiva. He's another form of Vishnu. But yet, he carries out this fight or whatever. We see that the case in other avatar forms also, like Parsarama or something like that or whatever. But again, attribute that to the yogamaya potency of the Lord. The Lord makes a certain arrangement by which they take a position which may look contrary from our point of view.
I understand that this aspect that Krishna is so merciful. He forgives and Shiva. Amongst the bodies, we have some situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we see the Lord even in the material world. The devotees make mistakes, and the Lord says, "Apichet sudaracharo." Even if you commit the most abominable activity, you're still my devotee. So the Lord doesn't condemn the devotee for making a mistake, provided that he remains a devotee and he has sincerity in his service. So the Lord says, "Sadhu, eva samantavya," I consider him to be sadhu, good, in spite of doing bad. The Lord says he's still good. Why? Because the Lord sees that the bhakti that he's doing is better than, it is superior to any fault that he may have in terms of sinful activity or whatever. At least the bhakti is there. So he sees the good part, the bhakti part.
I find the same similarity in all devotees who fought Krishna. All devotees, like JBJ, Shiva is fitting. So only devotees are fitting.
No, also like Agasura and Putana and so many devotees. These are exceptional cases where the Lord fights with persons for Jai and Vijay. So it's explained in Lagu Bhagavatamrita that in every day of Brahma, it's not that Jai and Vijay fight with the Lord and they become, you know, demons three times. No, it's regular demons at other times. So it's a rare case where Jai and Vijay take up the role of demons. Other cases, real demons.
Well, even for this instance, a person like Vanasura, afterwards seeing this entire episode, do they appreciate the devotee of Krishna, or what is the dynamic between Shiva and Krishna? Further, after this last time,
yeah.
Vanasura, does he appreciate Krishna better than what he was before? Or
like, oh, definitely. Definitely. It says he surrendered, he bowed down to the Lord, etc. When he was defeated. Thus attaining freedom from fear, Banasura offered obeisances to Lord Krishna by touching his head to the ground. Bana then seated Aniruddha and his bride on their chariot and brought them before the Lord. So he cooperated with the Lord after that point. So he became a devotee.
In relation to Krishna,
Well, or actually one, Shiva is another form of the Lord, so in one sense
it's... So he gets all the knowledge.
Yeah.
Regard to, we understand here, Manasura was killed by the Shiva, he is being innocent of Durga. Bhoomasura, the son of Bhoomadevi, was killed. Bhoomadevi's son was killed. Here, Manasura is not killed. Mm-hmm. Is there a difference in the sense that his own son was killed, whereas Manasura was killed?
So, you say, why the difference? Well, some demons are killed, some are not killed, we see. Krishna killed so many demons. Well, and of course they made that benediction that the descendants of Prahlad would not be killed or whatever like that. So special cases are there, as in this case. So Krishna doesn't kill all the demons, so Kaliya was not killed. Whereas Agasura was killed, Keshi was killed, other Putana was killed, but then Kaliya was not killed. Forearms.
Yeah.
He left them with forearms. So in a sense they became like a Vishnu Duta. Well, they may not get killed, but at least he gets rid of their demonic tendency, as we see in the case of Bhanasura. So he may not have to kill them. Huh? So he destroys their demonic mentality, at least, as with Lord Chaitanya also. He doesn't kill anybody, but he destroys the demonic mentality. So either way, the Lord can do it. He doesn't have to kill. If he can just get rid of the demonic mentality, he may also do that. Well, getting the spiritual world is rare, so those are exceptional cases. The other case is that they simply get liberation as the people that saw Krishna on the battlefield with her, etc. So that's the normal case. But the exceptional case is when they actually get body in the spiritual world. So Agasura got, and Shishupala gets, and a few others get. Well, different avatars have different functions. So Parasurama's particular function was to kill the Kshatriya king so many times. And Rama's function was to kill Ravana. So they don't interfere with their particular duties. Yeah, but they have different duties. So, for instance, Varaha will not interfere and kill Ravana or whatever like that. He has this particular thing of lifting up the earth and killing Hiranyaksha. That's his thing, and then it's finished. Well, we have to go by the scriptures and which is the higher scriptures, ultimately. So as I said, the sattvic scriptures are stronger than the tamasic and rajasic scriptures. So whatever story we quote will have strength based upon where it comes from. Huh? And then, of course, the highest pramana is Bhagavatam.
before you said that Bali Maharaj was a demon, and then when he was blessed by Vamadeva, then he became a devotee. But before that, we see that there is a huge sacrifice in which his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj was present, and then there were so many things which were given. Prahlad Maharaj also gave him a garland which would never fail. So it seems that Prahlad Maharaj's blessings were there with Bali Maharaj before he actually went to fight with the demons, with the Devatas. So how do we understand that in the context that Bali Maharaj was a demon, Prahlad Maharaj was a devotee, but a devotee was blessing a demon to fight with the Devatas?
Well, at what point did Prahlad give his blessings to him? When he was a demon? When he was conquered over heaven?
Before conquering, there was a new sacrifice.
Okay.
The sacrifice, the different things were coming from sacrificial fire.
Yeah.
And Prahlad Maharaj gave him a garland, and then he got horses, and then he got his army ready to defeat, and then the demons were delivered the vanquished, and then Pahivrata was led by him.
Yeah. Of course, we cannot say that simply because Prahlad gave him the garland that therefore that was how he became victorious or anything like that. But because he's in the same family, he has to have some sort of respect or whatever, or relationship with him. Not that he sanctions all of his activities, but at least some relationship is there. But again, we can say that there is what we call arrangement of pastimes. And so ultimately we see that Bali was not a demon because he surrendered. So he had some demoniac tendencies, but ultimately his devotional tendency became stronger when he realized his defeat. Then he surrendered to the Supreme Lord. So he wasn't a complete demon in one sense, but he became very powerful so that he could conquer over the heavenly kingdom. But again, then his devotional tendency manifested, and that became the main factor after that.
And Maharaj, the benediction at the end of this chapter, can it be taken that defeating Maya, anybody who reads this chapter gets protection from Maya? Can we take that way also?
Well, yeah, that's a deeper understanding. We can take the gross material understanding, and that's one level that you're victorious in the material sense. Higher is that we defeat Maya, and of course, the devotee actually, he doesn't care whether he defeats Maya or doesn't defeat Maya, as long as he's a devotee, which implies defeating Maya anyway. Success means for the devotee, success means to become spiritual, which happened anyway. He surrendered to the Lord.
Isn't this of Prahlad being fight? We find all the businesses are fighting. Bali is fighting, Manas is fighting.
Yeah. Well, because he came in a demonic family. And Prahlad got special benediction because he got the mercy of Narada Muni directly in the womb. So from before his birth, he was a devotee. So he's a special case in the demonic family. But in spite of them, others being born in a demonic family, still, they became devotees.
Yeah.